entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve you to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed, for I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I've not found anyone in Israel with such great faith."
I'm ready for a nap after this morning's service. There's a lot of nay work. Good morning, everyone, again. Thank you for our reading as well, Edie. That was awesome. At Unley Park Kids, this past term, we've been looking at the early ministry and early miracles of Jesus, including turning water into wine, helping the disciples gather up a big scoop of fish, turning five loaves and two fish into a very abundant meal for a good couple of thousand people. And then this, the story of the centurion's servant. And considering that our theme here at Unley Park this term at the moment is never seeing, I actually really like what this passage tells us about that idea. I love how it plays as well on that idea of never seeing and ever seeing. The centurion's servant never saw Jesus. He was at home paralyzed, while his master sought out Jesus. And yet I feel like the centurion not only saw Jesus, but saw Jesus in a more insightful way, maybe than others. He really saw him. By healing the centurion's servant, Jesus would have revealed himself to the servant once the servant realized they were healed. I have to imagine that that would have been a bit of a surprise to them, and that they would have had to eventually hear the story that there's a reason for their healing. But I wonder whether the centurion, before they even got home and had that miracle certified, that they had already seen, not just seen, Jesus. I think having faith like the centurion comes not just with a bold and blind faith, but a knowingness within our spirit of who it is indeed that we have faith in. I sense that the centurion maybe sensed this in Jesus. And I wonder, are we ever seeing Jesus as well in this same way? As we explore and sit with that idea, I have a challenge for three people in this room. And because the kids have already done it and they know the secrets of the universe, I think I need a young adult, a youth, and I just want to say Kingsley because I can. Do I have a youth or a young adult that would be up for a challenge? It's not embarrassing. Ooh. Okay, so Harry's the young adult. Maddie, do you want to be our youth? Okay, there we go. That's a great mix. Okay. You're your own category, Kingsley. Do you guys want to stand behind me up on the big stage? Okay, I'm going to give you each a piece of paper. Just hold it for now. Yeah, you need your glasses. No. Okay, so what these three beautiful volunteers are going to do is that once we're ready, we're going to count with them as they fold a blank sheet of paper in half. So you're going to fold it in half, and then you can fold it in half again, and then you're going to fold it in half again, but you're going to kind of do it together simultaneously. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. Whew. Whew. Okay, so... Well, it's up to you how you fold it, but you have to fold it in halves. Okay, so you guys ready? So, okay.
That's fine.
You guys ready? Let's count. One. Oh, wait. Okay, don't go and do the second one yet. Okay, we got there. Good on him. Okay, you guys ready for your second? Yeah, okay. Two. Okay, they got there. Okay, count with me. Three. You guys are, Kingsley, you're so quick. Have you done this before? Okay, let's see. We're up to three. Is this four?
This is four.
Okay. Four. Yeah, you can feel it. Yeah. Five. Giving the guns a good workout. No. No, are you out? Okay, let's see. Does anyone want to go to six? Does anyone want to go one step further?
Seven.
Maddie's going to do it.
Seven.
Is this seven, Maddie?
This is seven.
Okay, Maddie's squishing in seven. I think Harry and Kingsley have tapped out at six. Do you want to hold it up for us? Nice and proudly, too. There we go. Awesome work. Good job, team. Thank you. Let me shake your hand. That was good work. Yeah, thank you. Let me hold on to that. Awesome work. Thank you. Thank you, volunteers. And also, Maddie had her formal on Friday. So good on you for your formal, Maddie. Actually, while I'm making announcements, Maddie had her formal on Friday. Was that good? Yeah, nice. And where's Bianca? Bianca got fifth in Indonesian in like a global Indonesian language competition this week. So I think that's pretty cool. Out of the whole world. Congratulations. Okay, quickly. Why did we do this? It's physically impossible, and you can go home and try this, to fold an A4 piece of paper in half more than seven times. It caps out at seven because of science and physics, and I stopped paying attention in that class. But I think that's really fascinating to know that there are these limitations in our natural world that we just, as humans, we cannot push past. And the cool thing about Jesus' early miracles is that they remind us is that he can. Jesus can do the things that we can't. And so I can't promise you that Jesus is going to make this paper fold an eighth time, but the thing is, he could. I hope when you next look at a piece of paper, you can be reminded sure, you are human, but you serve a very big God, and it's good to be reminded of that. A verse that's really hit home for me recently in reminding me of that is Galatians 2 verse 20, where it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I love it where it says, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ." Let's hold on to that heart posture as we prepare for communion today. I invite you to take a moment and just sit with that idea for a second. What does it look like for not I but Christ to be the theme of your heart today and this week? Let's take a moment, and then I'm going to bring us back together for the Lord's Prayer. Let's do the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the night the Lord Jesus was handed over to his enemies, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, it is given for you. Every time you eat it, do it in memory of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Every time you drink it, do it in memory of me." You eat the bread and drink the cup, and when you do this, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. What a better reminder of not I, but Christ is there than communion. As we eat the bread, we remember the body of Jesus given for us. And as we drink the cup, we remember the blood of Jesus shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Here at Unley Park, we invite anyone who follows or wants to follow Jesus to participate in communion. This is a time between you and God to reflect on the great love and grace that we have been given through Jesus' death and resurrection. Let us now take the bread together.